Acts chapter number 9. Have your Bibles. Turn with me, Acts chapter number 9. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. I'm going to begin reading with the first verse, Acts chapter number 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a bright light, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And I've seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. God is good to us. Hallelujah. I want you to notice, the first two verses we see that Saul was a religious zealot. The Bible says he was angry with those fellow Jews, or fellow Hebrews, that accepted Jesus as their Savior and the promised Messiah. And so he goes to the leaders in Jerusalem, to the religious leaders, and receives authority from them to go to Damascus. And there in Damascus, when he arrived, he would arrest the people, men and women. He would arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem bound and to be tried as heretics. So I want to preach tonight along the lines of what I have read. Saul, while he was on his way with those papers of authority, authorizing him to arrest those and do what he would, and bring them to before the court with those papers in his pocket. On the way to Damascus, something happened. And it changed the history of the church. One event changed the history of the church of the living God. He met the one that he was fighting against. The Bible said he met the Lord. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5 again. Now as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. The Lord knows how to get our attention. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Let me say this tonight. It's hard to go against God. The way of the righteous is the best way. Serving God is the best way. To go against that is a difficult and a hard way. So in the next verse, that after I've just what I've read, tells us it's all humble before the Lord and astonished maybe at what has happened, trembling and astonished, the Bible says.
after meeting the Lord. No longer is he the angry zealot. No longer is he bringing up threatenings against those that had accepted Christ as a Savior. No longer is he out to destroy the church. The Bible says the papers in his pocket, giving him authority to do that, but all that was no longer important. Something's happened. His life has changed. Aren't you glad your life has changed? Praise God, praise God. The Bible says the bright light caused him to fall there upon the earth in the highway on the way to Damascus. And in the 10th through the 12th verses, I'm going to read again, and that's what I want to preach about. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. Let me stop right there. It's always good to answer the Lord. Be ready to answer the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Amen, amen, amen. Notice the address where Brother Judas lived. The Bible said he lived on a street called Straight. That's a good way to live, straight. Now, let me just share one or two things. When I was growing up right here on this peninsula, my family worshiped the Lord in the Pentecostal Holiness Church on 25th Street in Newport News. When we came back from England in 1958, my wife and I, and Mike was just a one-year-old youngster, we worshiped the Lord in the Pentecostal Holiness Church on West 44th Street in Tucson, Arizona. But tonight, I want to mention this street called Straight. Some things that took place on a street called Straight. And as I have read tonight in the 9th chapter of Acts, there are some things there for us. Not just for Saul, how that God had ministered and what God had done in his life and did do in his life on that occasion, but I want to preach tonight about some things that took place on a street called Straight. First of all, I want you to notice from what I have just read that there was a man that got saved on Straight Street. Saul accepted Christ, got saved while he was on his way to Straight Street. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Regardless tonight, when this is important tonight, regardless of where you met the Master, regardless of where you turned your life over to God, regardless of where you were when you got saved, the where is not so important as the what. You might have been in this hall to pray and God saved you. You might have been kneeling up beside your bed at home and God saved you. You might have been in your automobile and God began to speak to your heart and you committed your life to Christ and you got saved. You might have been watching a television program, listening to a preacher, and the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of your heart and you got saved. Wherever you were, that's wonderful. But the where is not so important. But what that took place is important. Saul, on his way to Straight Street, accepted the Lord. He got saved. And I thought about Paul's or Saul's life. Let me just run through some things, if I may. I believe that Saul was raised by good parents. I believe that somehow he had a desire to better himself. The Bible tells me that he had his life planned out in his mind what he wanted to do. He's been to school. He's become educated. After he graduated from school, he had a private tutor by the name of Gamaliel, who was a member of the Sanhedrin court, the high court of the land. And he learned at the feet of Gamaliel, his desire is to be a member of the high court himself. And he's a lawyer, he becomes a lawyer, and he's a good lawyer. I can understand by his writings that Paul knew the word, and he knew the law. And God got a hold of his heart on the way to Straight Street and accepted Christ as his Savior. And I thought, what a thought came to my mind as I was preparing that, looking at that in my notes. I thought, God, you're so good. He was raised in a good family, no doubt, and was preparing himself. He had everything lined out, but he met the Master, and he got saved. And the greatest thing that can ever happen to anyone is when we got saved. I desired to retire from the Air Force. I really desired to be a jet pilot in the service, but I did not accomplish that. Then I desired to retire from the Air Force. Now my greatest desire is to be ready for heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. My plan since 1958, when I was called to preach, my plan has been to try to please God, obey God, live right, and be ready for heaven. And I thank God tonight for salvation. I'm glad the same thing that happened to Saul happened to me. And it's been a wonderful journey. I mentioned this morning about getting saved 58 years ago. And I just want to mention this tonight, and I'm not going to be lengthy at all because of my throat, but I want to mention this tonight. This thing doesn't grow old. It gets better. The choir sings that song, Sweeter As the Days Go By. Don't ever think that when people get old and that their experience with God just sort of wanes and is soon gone and nothing much left but the grave and the destination. This thing gets better. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God. Saul accepted the Lord and salvation. I want you to just notice one other thing. I hadn't even thought of that. Don't have it in my notes at all. I want you to think about Saul's life. He was out to destroy the church. He was out to tear down the believers and to arrest them and bring them before of the law and have them punished, have them be fired and be punished because he felt like that they were heretics and they were going against the plan of God. They were going against Moses' law and they were out to destroy the church. But listen to this, if you will. When the Bible said, when the Lord said himself, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he meant it. He will build a church, and whatever the devil might do, it will never destroy the church. We're going to go over to the other side. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But I'm glad I'm on the right side. Thank God, thank God. Well, salvation came to a man on his way to Straight Street. Then as I read, right, verses 10, 11, and 12, I found something else. The Lord sent Ananias, one of his disciples, to minister to Saul. And notice the last words of the 11th verse. For behold, he prayeth. Saul had a prayer meeting on Straight Street. Now, that's important. We've been studying prayer, about prayer in Sunday school lesson now for some weeks. And we've mentioned it in Bible study. And I thought, if we can understand this tonight, then I hope you will jot it down in your mind. Prayer and the Word of God, or studying the Word of God, or reading the Word of God, they are the life's blood of the believer. The life's blood of the believer. Prayer and the Word of God. So let me just make a clarification. No one will ever grow spiritually without spending some time in prayer. No one will ever be what God wants us to be without spending some time in the Word. Amen. Amen, amen. I have heard a long time ago that the family that prays together stays together. Have you ever heard that? Amen. Family that prays together stays together. And I believe that. I was raised in a Christian home and we had a good unity in the home and God was good to us. Thank the Lord doesn't mean that if you pray as your children are growing up that every one of them are going to make it to heaven. But I believe that prayer is a glue that holds the family together. But I want to bring it down to the individual. And not only the family that prays together stays together. I believe the individual that prays stays. Stays committed. Stays with the Lord. Stays dedicated. Stays faithful to Christ. Stays faithful to the church. Stays faithful. Ready for the rapture. Stays ready for heaven. Stays saved. Hallelujah. Let me make a statement here that I want you to remember this. There's never been known a man or a woman or a young person that was a prayer warrior to leave God as a prayer warrior. Amen. Do you understand what I just said? Yes. The person will have to quit praying. Yes. Then they're gone. I've never known a prayer warrior as a prayer warrior backsliding. People that pray, stay. People that pray earnestly. A lot of people say prayers, don't even know the Lord, don't have an experience with God. You might know some that say prayers, the A-Rab, five times a day. Don't even know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying to a different God than we know in the Bible. praying to the Allah, which is not the same God of the Bible. But a lot of people say prayers, but a man that earnestly prays, a prayer warrior, a man that gets a hold of God, cries out to God, loving God, dedicated to God, they don't go back on God. They stay. I've known some in my lifetime. I've known some people that were not in the limelight. I've known some people that never seemed to have any particular job in the church or responsibility in the church. But they spent time in prayer. They spent time in prayer for the church and for the pastor and for the Sunday school teachers and for all of the work of the church, the missionaries and the rest. They were prayer warriors. Amen, amen. Thank God. I believe there'll be some surprised people when we get to glory. I know we'll have a glorified body. But there'll be some there that you've never heard of. But they were prayer warriors. Thank God, thank God. Amen. And God's taken note of all of it. Saul was converted on his way to Straight Street, and now he's having a prayer meeting on Straight Street, and thank God for those who pray. Prayer is powerful. It'll accomplish what nothing else can do. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe when people pray and get a hold of God, and God begins to move, and God begins to answer, I believe that things happen that are way out of this world. Amen. I believe the impossible is possible. The unseeable is seeable. The invisible is visible. Amen. God will take the foolish things of the world, amen, to bring this to life tonight. Having God is a big God. What a Savior. What a mighty God. That's why the ladies have prayer meeting on Tuesday mornings. Sometimes I think it's about seven of those that meet regularly. Some, when I'm in the office and they're here in the small fellowship hall behind the sanctuary, I listen to them praying. I'm in there. I don't know what they're saying, but I hear that they're praying. Sometimes they get excited, and I get excited hearing that they're excited. I mean that. When God's people begin to pray, and things begin to happen, it blesses my heart. Hallelujah. I am not so selfish that it's got to be me, but when God's people are blessed, I'm blessed. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. That's why the men, when we have our monthly fellowship breakfast on the first Saturday of the month, that's why we have devotion after breakfast, and that's why we get down on our knees, have a prayer time. It might not be the same type of prayer time that the ladies had, but the men are praying, God, have your divine will in our lives. That's why the church had prayer meeting yesterday morning at 8:30 on the third Saturday of every month around the altar, not coming for service, but just coming to pray. I shouldn't say not coming for service, because prayer is a service. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why we pray. And he who prays stays. I believe that's why I miss it. And Shelley, when they have the youth meetings, when they have times of prayer, and we've heard such good reports of how that God has blessed them, and they've come out of that fellowship hall on fire for God. Prayer changes things, amen. Prayer is real. I thought about after that last Friday night a week ago, when you had that meeting, and God blessed in such a way, and I don't know whether you remember it or not, but the next Sunday morning seemed like the anointing and the liberty was more real than it was any other Sunday lately. Why? Because prayer changes things. Thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. There was a prayer meeting on Straight Street. Then I'm going to read verse 16. For I will show thee, God said to Saul, for I will show to Ananias, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, if it were me in charge, and I had appointed someone to a job, I would not want to tell them all the bad things right off the bat. Naturally, I would want them, I wanted to give them ready, but I don't want to tell them too much. They might turn me down. But here is the Lord saying to Saul that I'm going to show him, I'm going to show him what I have in store. And this morning in the Sunday school class, we mentioned something about prayers being hindered and why some are not answered and whatever. And we mentioned the God's will. And so that's the third part tonight that I want to mention that took place on Straight Street. How that Saul learned what God had planned for him. He learned God's will for his life on Straight Street. And I said that this morning in teaching the class. Now I want to repeat it tonight. There's a lot of people in the church that have never found the will of God for their lives. Now, it's the will of God to be saved, and if you're saved tonight, that's part of the will of God. But a lot of people live their lives in the church, loving God maybe, that's between them and God, and seem to never find what God would have them do. I really believe tonight that God has something for every believer. Whatever it is, it will be important. If He has you to sit down on Monday morning and write two cards to somebody that was not here on Sunday, that's a ministry. If He has you to write a letter to a missionary that God has placed in your heart and in your mind, maybe that's been here and we support her, maybe we don't support her, and you just write them a letter that they came to your mind and you were praying and you just wanted to encourage them and let them to know that somebody's thing. Did you know those over yonder sometimes that leave home and with their families separated, sometimes they're lonely. And that's a ministry for everyone. And I know some people, and I know this in this congregation, I know there are some people that get on their cell phone. Now, I'm not one of those, and I'm not against anyone that does. I believe it's a handy gadget. And I've got one. But I haven't let you know the number. And I don't use it. But for certain things. This is what I'm saying tonight. I believe with all of my heart how that God's will is important for each of our lives. Knowing what God would have us to do. We've got some that are deacons, and we've got board members, and we've got choir members, and we've got musicians, and we've got youth workers, and we've got children's churches. A lot of jobs, a lot of things. You say, well, Brother Jones, I haven't been elected for anything. God's got something for you. Amen. And it's important. And God will bless you. Just a little thing. Just a little thing sometimes. Mean more than you can imagine. Let me share this with you. No, go on. When we came back from California in 1974, in the direction of God, we would never have come back unless God directed us. We loved the church. God had blessed us. We had purchased 4 acres on the main highway to build a new church, and God had been good to us. Our church was a good missions-giving church. Good people. We were happy with them, and the Lord had blessed us, and God was good. But every time we prayed at the end of 1973, over in the first part of 1974, I had not told my wife, and I were praying, and we had not mentioned to the deacon board, we had not mentioned to anybody. We were waiting on God, but we knew that there were a time God was preparing us to leave. To come back this way, where I was raised and my wife's family was here. When we came back, we preached when the doors were open. Preached in several churches, preached revivals. I was offered 9 different churches in several states that they knew me and I knew them, and they heard that I'd left California, and I was not pastoring, and I was offered 9 churches. Every time we went to pray, there was no green light. God didn't say, this is it. And so there came a time when we prayed and we felt important to start a new church. And this coming Thursday will be 37 years ago when the first service of the Abundant Life Tabernacle. I said all of that to say this, God's a good God. And to know the will of God, I am glad that we did not take any of those 9 churches, because if God didn't give the green light, I would be out of the will of God. Amen. And I have said this before from this pulpit. I would rather be in the desert in a tent, preaching to one Arab or one person in the desert living in a tent, than to be pastor of the largest church in America and be out of the will of God. I'd rather be out there in the will of God than to be in the large church without the will of God. When you're in the will of God, you can pray, and God hears. And God blesses, and God answers. What a Savior! What a mighty God! We've got something to rejoice about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Bible says, and listen, let me to know, that Saul found the will of God while he was on Straight Street. Thank God for that. And the Bible tells me, as I kept on reading down to the 20th verse, how that Saul began to preach after he's fasted and prayed, and God's anointed him and blessed him. He begins to preach Christ. Brother, he's never been to Bible school. He's never sat under any kind of religious leader except the mayor, and he was of the old law, and he was not born again. But here's Saul, now a preacher, preaching Christ. Why? Because it was God's will.
and God anointed him. He knew the Old Testament well. And God used him to preach what he knew of the Old Testament. Now that he's accepted Christ and shows how the law of the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. He learned, he found out the will of God. Now, one other illustration, and I'll go on. I mentioned a while ago that I had my life planned out. I thought that when I re-enlisted, I was in Japan in 1951. The Korean War was going on, and it was time for re-enlisting. I went in the service for 3 years, volunteer. And in 1951, the war had started, and you remember the story how that the president added a year to our enlistment, and I decided rather than just taking a year's enlistment added by the president, I would re-enlist for 6. And I did. So I made up my mind in 1951 in Japan, after 3 years in the service, I made a decision. I'm going to stay in the service. I like the service. I want to make it a career. I'm going to stay here 20 years and retire. That was my plan. In November 1958, in that 44th Street Church, Pentecostal Holiness Church, as I mentioned before, kneeling at the front bench on this side of that church there on 44th Street in Tucson, God called me to preach. And I thought about that a lot of times. I know a lot of people that were a whole lot more qualified. I don't know very many that were less qualified as far as God calling. That was not my desire. That was not my goal. That was not what I wanted. That was not anything. But when God called me to preach, listen, and I say this humbly as I know how, nothing else in this world ever satisfies until you obey God. I've tried to be faithful all these years. And I thank God. I thank God for the way that He's working. And I am praying tonight before service. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I found the will of God for my life. This is important as well. When God called me, He called my wife as well. Not to be a preacher, but a preacher's wife. She has been by my side all of these years in the ministry. From the very first service we had no piano, and she played the accordion and I played the guitar until we got a piano. My wife had never taken much piano lessons, but she learned when God called me to preach, and even before that, when she was asked to play, and she tried to learn a song, a new song every week to play in the church because they had no pianist. I want to say with my wife here and each one of you, I thank God for a good wife. It's been by my side. I don't know what preachers do whose wives are not in there with them. I've known some that never participated, never took part, never got in the church service. I've known some that even attended a different church than the Catholic church where their husband pastored. I had a friend right in this town that did that very thing. In fact, one time he was pastored across the street. And his wife was pastoring somewhere else. I don't know how that works. I'm glad it wasn't the way it was with us. I'm glad God put us together in the ministry. I preached tonight. I tried to preach tonight that a man got saved on the way to Straight Street. A man had a prayer meeting on the way to Straight Street. A man found the will of God on Straight Street. Hallelujah. Good things happen on Straight Street. I come to the fourth part and the last part of the sermon for the night. Remember this, if you will. The Bible tells me that on that road to Damascus, how that Saul was stricken, smitten down, how he was blinded by the great light shining out of heaven. And when he came, when he arose, his eyes were blinded. He could not see. They had to lead him to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. They had to lead him there. But when he got there, the Bible says to me, a man got healed on Straight Street. Saul received his sight on Straight Street, blinded by the bright light, but now God has opened his eyes and he's able to see. And I thought about that. I thank God. And I'm not going to give any personal testimony here. You've heard my testimony enough. along that line. But thank God, he's still the healer tonight. I would like to say there was a straight street in Jericho. We don't have any record of that. But the Bible says there's a man in Jericho by the name of Bartimaeus that was blind. And when Jesus came along and he heard that it was Jesus, he could not see. But he heard the turmoil and all that was going on. And he cried out, Jesus, thou son of Nazareth, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. And Jesus stopped where he was and called for Bartimaeus. And he came and he was healed. He was healed by the power of God. There was healing on State Street. There was a layman, man, I would like to have been standing close by. At the gate of the temple in the third chapter of Acts. Man that is lame from his mother's womb. Never knew how good it was to walk. Had to lay there, somebody had to take him to the gate, and he had to have a cup in his hand, maybe. Would you give some alms to the poor? Would you help me for some bread? Day after day they brought him there, and one day two preachers came by. The man's crying out. Peter came to him. I believe he was excited. I believe his heart began to do flip-flops. I really believe he was expecting something from this man. Peter then said, sir, I don't have any money. And maybe his heart sunk. But this is what Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rise up and walk. Man, don't you know it's been something if you're standing over there? You've known this man. You've seen him day after day after day. When you went to the temple, when you went by the temple, there he was. Never able to walk. And now you're standing over there and these two preachers come by on the way to prayer meeting. And one of them takes him by the hand and says, we don't have any money, but we're going to give you what we have. And the Bible said the Spirit of God, the power of God, went through his ankle bones. And he came up from there. And the Bible said he was up jumping and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. I would love to have seen it. Somebody would like to demonstrate it maybe after service. I'm not going to try. Jumping, leaping, praising God. I believe if I'd have been there and not been a Christian, and I heard what Peter said, I'd like to know something about this man named Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As you go on through the Bible, you can find that man that was a palsied man. And when they brought him to Jesus, how that there was healing in that house that day. How the little woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus and was healed. Hallelujah. And throughout the Bible, time after time after time after time, the healing power. And in this congregation tonight, there are some sitting here right now that have been healed by the power of God. God's come on the scene. God's done a work in their lives. It was astonishing to many people, but it was real in their lives. And some of them have a testimony, a real testimony, what God has done. And there's still some tonight that need a touch in their body. But I'm here to tell you, on Straight Street, anything can happen. Yes, I'm going to close out and we're going to pray. Now, would you remember this? The same God, the same Lord that met Saul on the road to Damascus, on his way to Straight Street, and after he got there, that same Lord tonight is still saving. And it's God's will to save. That same Lord is still sanctifying. And it's His will to sanctify. That's why the Bible said Jesus suffered without the gate and shed His own blood that we might be sanctified. He poured out His life's blood that we might be purified, cleansed, and made holy. Yes, yes. The Bible said in the 16th chapter of John that Jesus said, it's better for you that I go back to heaven. But if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send the comforter. He will not only be with you, but He will be in you. Hallelujah. And I want you to know tonight, the same Jesus that met Saul on Straight Street, the same same one that baptizes in the Holy Ghost with fire. He's the Savior. He's the sanctifier. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. One more statement. Saul was healed on Straight Street. And the same Jesus that saves and sanctifies and baptizes in the Holy Ghost is still healing bodies tonight. And I'm believing for Him to heal my wife. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's a big God. Yes. And He loves us. He hasn't changed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe the thought is, get on Straight Street. Get on Straight Street. Good things happen on Straight Street. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come to the piano, honey. Thank God, thank God. I had you to stand this morning and just worship God. I'm going to ask you to come around the altar tonight. Stand, kneel, sit, whatever. Come around the altar tonight. Thank God for Straight Street and for what happened. What I just finished with is so important. He hasn't changed. He's still the one that saves. There's no salvation in any other except Jesus. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, but by the name of Jesus. The most beautiful name, the most wonderful name in all of man, all the world. What a name, what a name. The lovely name of Jesus. There's a chorus. I'm not going to try to sing it or tell you the words, but how many times a baby, wasn't that a beautiful baby of Abby's this morning? How many times a baby is burning up with fever and a Christian mother goes to the crib or maybe holds that baby in the arm and maybe lay the hands on the brow of that child and begin to call out to the name of Jesus. And the Lord comes by and heals. Hallelujah. How many times Jesus has come by, blessed and answered prayer. He's still the same today as He was yesterday. He's the Savior. He's the Sanctifier. He's the Baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He's our Healer. By His stripes we're healed. He's paid for everything, every sickness. Dream of your condition. Joyce for your hurting. My wife's. Everyone, anyone, whatever the need, He's already paid for it. He paid for our sins. He's paid for our sicknesses. He's a good God. I guess if I preach another 50 years, that'll be my theme. In the next 50, He's a good God. Will you stand together with me? Will you stand together?